Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Braves game postponed tonight. If you're just joining us, weather. So they're going to make that game up May 29th. It is going to be a split day-night doubleheader, which means they'll play one in the day, one at night, and make this game up. Series hopefully will continue tomorrow, and they'll wrap this thing up as the Braves are currently 9.5 games out. Let's talk to Mike Griffith. We enjoy his work with Dog Nation. And, Mike, I want to ask you first and foremost about what Kirby said. And one of the things he talked about extensively was the transfer portal window. I totally agree with him. And he said there needs to be one window, first of all. Secondly, it needs to be in December. And is this going to get resolved? I mean, listen, I know they can't solve all the problems down there with the annual meetings going on, but at least a lot of good stuff is being talked about, right?
Yeah. So actually, he wants to move it from December to January.
Correct.
And Greg Sankey elaborated that a little bit last night. So just to kind of reset what's happened is there's been two transfer portals, as you mentioned, and one was in December and one was after spring drills in April. And the coaches don't really like the April transfer window as much because you kind of have to reset your team, and you know, you think you got a team, and then, you know, geez, just ask Tennessee, right? Their quarterback headed to UCLA, you know, and now all of a sudden you got to repack. And then if you wait, you know, when you got what, February, March, April, you got maybe some other teams on your campus tampering with these guys, trying to lure them out in April. And then of course you got to reset, and there's really not much time to react. The reason Kirby wants it in January instead of its current time in December is because he wants to have an opportunity to bring those high school kids in there, get them settled, then find out which players are going to the NFL. Now you know what your roster is going to look like, and then you can attack the portal. Greg Sankey said last night that 10-day period for a January portal would be after the New Year's Day bowl game. So, yeah, it's not perfect that you're working on a portal and you're working on transfers while you're in the playoff if you're one of those 4 or 8 teams left. But it's a lesser evil than waiting until April or having two different windows.
Hey, Mike, speaking of evil, what did you think of the reaction to Greg Sankey's comments where he kind of got medieval on the reporter? Is it the SEC commissioner simply looking out for his membership teams, or is he not looking out for the best things for college football?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're serving two masters there, right? I mean, first and foremost, he's the SEC commissioner. But at the same time, I think Sankey's been pretty responsible with this. You know, if you look at the last 11 years, I think the SEC and the Big Ten have averaged 5 teams ranked in the top 16. So it doesn't seem that out of worldly to me that they'd say, okay, how about we have a plan where there's 4 automatic qualifiers from the Big Ten and the SEC? You know, based on history, that's pretty fair out of the top 16. But the Big 12 and the ACC have pushed back and said, you know what, you know, are you really doing this in the best interest? So now the SEC is saying, okay, well, wait a minute. Maybe we'll go with this 5-1-1 model that I just wrote about on DogNation.com. And we're just going to take the 5 conference champions and then the next 11 at-large teams, and let's bring it on. So there's a couple of different formats that you're looking at there for a 16-team playoff, which wouldn't start until 2026.
Do you like this model? What are coaches saying about it?
I think there's merit to both. I mean, you know, the question if you get into the 4 automatic qualifier model is how do you decide what the 4 teams are, right? And what happens to the SEC championship game? Well, I think they would keep the SEC championship game. Both teams would be in it regardless of the outcome. And then maybe have a 3-6 game and a 4-5 game that would be on the higher-seeded teams' campuses. I think that could be interesting. That'd probably be, to me, the best way to have a play-in while still maintaining the integrity of a championship game in the league.
We were talking a lot about Kirby, and again, Kirby's one of the top coaches. He's kind of taken over, Mike, as Mike Griffiths joins us, guys, from AJC and Dog Nation. He's kind of like the elder statesman now, or at least the guy who commands the room. And talking about things, whether he was talking to Feinbaum or talking to the media, one of the things which raised some eyebrows, saying that high school recruits getting paid as much as $20,000 a month by collectives to hold up their commitments. I mean, that's the world we're living in, and how do we fix that?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot to that. How do we think? I mean, they've been trying to figure this stuff out for 3 years, right? So I think right now the big thing everybody's waiting on is the House versus NCAA settlement. And the primary thing that would do is put in some guardrails, you know, for how players get paid and compensated for the name, image, and likeness usage. And that's at the collegiate level. So you're talking about $20.5 million for each collegiate program to disperse among their student athletes, with football players, I think, at Georgia, you know, I want to say maybe 80%, you know, based on the model that we've seen, that the last 10 years of student athletes are going to be compensated by the NCAA as part of a $2.8 billion settlement. To answer your question, I don't know what you can do to police that, because collegiate sports, unlike the NFL or Major League, they don't have a commissioner.
Right.
You know, they don't have a czar, and they don't seem intent on getting one. And with all the different factions and all the different levels of college football, those 130 teams aren't created equally. I mean, we're looking at stratifying the Power Five conferences. You know, we're at a place now where we're going, well, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten, I mean, those are the two biggies based on the television contracts they have. They have the most money. They have the best facilities, by and large. They have the best coaches, by and large. They produce the best results, the most NFL players, yada, et cetera. Then you drop down to ACC and Big 12. Well, then you drop down to Group of Five. Well, now let's drop down even more to FCS. And so you've got all these different levels of football programs that want to have a voice and want to do what's best for them. And clearly, they all have different needs and wants. And so that's why it's been such a struggle for collegiate athletics to get on the same page.
Mike Griffith joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking Dogs. We're talking annual meetings going on down there in Florida. Paul Feinbaum said he didn't see enough from Gunnar Stockton. He doesn't trust him. Do you?
I saw the same.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In Notre Dame game, you did. I saw 10 points on the scoreboard. You know, I went to the Georgia G-Day game, and it took five possessions for Gunnar Stockton to put the offense in the end zone, and it took a fourth down conversion at that on that drive. So, you know, based on the body of work that we've seen, you know, the question is, is it fair to evaluate Gunnar Stockton based on how he did in the second half of the Texas game and based how he did in the Notre Dame game and based on how he did in G-Day? That's what we've seen. Now, Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo have seen a lot more behind closed doors.
Right.
They also pursued a quarterback in the portal in December, if you remember. They went after this Fernando Mendoza guy that ended up in Indiana. So it's not like Georgia themselves wasn't looking for it. Should we take something from that? That Georgia was looking for a quarterback? I don't know. You know, whether you should trust him or not, this is what you got, is Ryan Puglisi and Gunnar Stockton. And, you know, that's what Kirby Smart has to be ready to roll with. They did not add a quarterback in the spring portal. Rules prohibited them from going against anybody in the SEC. So it wasn't like they could have dipped into, you know, Nico, I'm going to leave you if they wanted to, right?
Right.
But as it turned out, you know, this is what you got. Now, there's four or five other guys, if you look on the, you know, top 50 quarterbacks list, that flirted with Georgia, had some association with Georgia, were recruited by Georgia, were committed to Georgia. But at the end of the day, you got Gunnar Stockton, and a lot of people feel great about that. Loved him as a high school player, like his character, all the intangibles. And then there's others who say, well, you know, maybe he's too short. Maybe he throws the ball, gets too many passes bad at the line. Maybe, you know, he missed on a couple of his throws in the G-Day game and the head coach wasn't happy with him that day. Or, but then there's other people say, you know what, he drives a pickup truck. He's from Georgia, and, and it's good enough for Kirby, good enough for me.
Yeah, again, they want Stetson Bennett 2.0. It's Mike Griffith, guys, from Dog Nation, and that's the question I had. I mean, offensive line couldn't do the job you needed to, so I thought Bobo probably should have tried to establish the run, which they couldn't against Notre Dame. Then they came up with that cockamamie idea to try to do something before halftime. We all know how that played out. And then on the heels of that, a guy like Jackson Cantwell comes up. You could certainly use this guy. We haven't talked to you, Mike, since he made his decision. He goes to Miami because there's more money there. Would Kirby have not started him as a freshman? Was that a holding? Was that the reason it was held up, or is there simply more loot from down in Miami?
Well, it's hard to say, but, you know, reading Cantwell's comments, it sounded like he was kind of sold on Miami and the offensive line coach even before he made that final visit to Georgia. Might have been playing Georgia a little bit to get a little bit more money. I mean, it's a Missouri kid, and even though it's an SEC school, I don't know. How SEC is Missouri when you get right down to it, right? I mean, does the guy really know what he's signing up for going to Miami? Don't forget his agent, I believe, was Drew Rosenhaus, who I believe has connections to Miami. There was a lot of internal cooking, as there always is. I mean, there's always a guy. There's always a lever. It's hard to try to read the tea leaves and make too much of an overstatement on what it means that an offensive lineman from Missouri didn't want to come to Georgia, right? You did get the number one quarterback in the 2026 class. I think that says something about you know, the appeal that Georgia still has nationally. But there are questions about Gunnar Stockton. There are questions about Georgia. And you can't. Here's the thing about the whole Stetson Bennett thing, and I know we don't want to go down this road again, but you know, Brock Bowers and Ladd, he's not throwing to Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey. He doesn't have a first-round left tackle, and he doesn't have a number one defense. So you're asking more of your quarterback now than you did of Stetson. Now, when Stetson needed to dial up, as we pointed out, he did. But sometimes he had a second and third and fourth chance to get things going. I don't know that Carson Beck really had that opportunity when you look at how the defense performed and how much he was behind. And now you're asking Carson Beck's backup to get it done. And I don't know that we've seen enough from Gunnar Stockton to feel confident that if Georgia gets in a shootout, that this is a guy that can, you know, throw for 350 yards and four touchdowns or you know, beat Georgia Tech in an 8-overtime game. I mean, my goodness. Right. I mean, Georgia Tech was 1 foot away from winning that game. I mean, Brent Key, the offensive line coach, you needed 1 foot to win that game. You know, ultimately, guys, it's going to come down to defense. It's going to come down to Gunnar Stockton or Puglisi, either one, taking care of the football, playing percentage football. I think you're going to see a lot like we saw from Jake Fromm maybe in circa 2018.
Mike Griffith, let me ask you about specifically what we're going to hear. What do you think we're going to hear from Josh Brooks coming up here? I know he's going to speak down there.
Yeah, Josh is, you know, as you guys know, Josh is pretty, you know, careful with what he says. He's a smart guy. I mean, this is his fifth year, if you can believe that. I mean, I think he's become one of the best ADs in the SEC, but he's got to be careful, and he's going to be careful not to overstep his bounds because he also serves on some of these NCAA committees. So he's going to have a filter on. He doesn't want to reveal too much because some of the information that he has, which is a lot more than some of these other ADs, you know, it's still kind of sensitive information. I think Josh will try to provide us maybe with a little bit of an overview of where the league athletic directors are at and some of the thought processes going on with an 8-game schedule or a 9-game schedule. Kirby's already said that hinges on whether, you know, how this playoff model works. If you get the automatic qualifiers where you know you'll get 4 in and you don't have to trust the college football playoff committee, fine, add the 9th game. But if you don't get the automatic qualifiers and you're going to put this in the hands of the same guys or many of the same guys, that decided, you know, some, you know, SMU football team that, you know, rode in backwards on a horse was better than Alabama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. I mean, who in the world would have believed that? Well, you know, when I asked the Big Ten, you know, CFP, you know, selection committee chairman, oh, well, we don't look at how they do against each other head to head. We look at these metrics. Are you kidding me?
Right.
The metrics, how do you base the metrics of the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the ACC against the SEC? When the schedule strength is nowhere, it's like saying, oh, yeah, well, you know what? You know, the Buford High School football program averaged more yards passing per game than Georgia, so they're better. They play a little different level of football. That's maybe a pretty gross example, but you get the point. So there's a lot that's going on. Not much is going to really get determined. It's going to be discussed. There's going to be strategies in place. Josh will maybe share, you know, an overall sense of it. I don't think he'll get too deep in the weeds. As I said, he's pretty careful with what he has to say. But he will probably identify some of the issues all of which will come to fruition after the NCAA versus House settlement. We're 5 years in, and somewhere in Northern California, that judge is still watching a redwood tree grow.
Yeah, this is literally, it is. It's like watching a tree grow. Hey, man, before we cut you loose, Brian Kelly today down in Florida, the coaches are in the SEC, the ADs, said that a lot of coaches want a scheduled agreement, play one non-conference Big Ten school every season, then play nine conference games, and then you can have two patty cakes. I love it. The thing is, we're just never going to see another undefeated team, are we?
Well, too soon to say that. I mean, Kirby Smart had one in 2022 and, you know, college football playoff era and back-to-back teams had never been done and three straight 8-0 SEC seasons that had never been done. So never say never. You know, Kirby points out if we don't get some guardrails on this NIL, you might have Ohio State and Texas buying, you know, super teams every year, not to identify two programs that did just that last year and the year before, but that's kind of what's happening. So it's too soon to say there'll never be an undefeated team. As far as the Big Ten and the SEC, it's pretty clear they're in bed with each other. And that's a message to the rest of college football, you know, because the veiled threat here is what if the Big Ten and the SEC decided that they just wanted to make their own league? Said, you know what, NCAA, we're checking out when it comes to football. It's just going to be us. That would leave everybody in the dust. We'd move closer to the super conferences. You know, guys, I don't know how realistic that is. And if you're asking me the truth, and I went to Michigan State, don't get me wrong. I covered Big Ten football, went to a Big Ten school. I'd rather see Georgia play Clemson than you know, some arbitrary team. I mean, Alabama played Wisconsin last year and beat their ass. And, you know, somehow the College Football Playoff Committee just forgot all about that game, right? It's like that game didn't even happen when we were looking at the two leagues. I just don't see that happening. I mean, to me, it almost feels like a bit of a red herring or wish list thing. And, you know, LSU better, you know, worry about their, you know, their own other non-conference game. Haven't they lost like the last two years to like USC? I mean, maybe Kelly just wants another chance or something. I heard Sam Pittman did say this, though, that you know, how about you stick with an 8-game SEC schedule and then make the ninth game against the Big Ten? I could see some value to that. But as far as trying to have a 9-game schedule and play a Big Ten team and maintain some of these, you know, home-and-home series. You know, Alabama's, I think they got Wisconsin again this year, don't they? Maybe Florida State.
They do.
Alabama's got a pretty tough schedule. I mean, amazing. Now that Nick Saban's gone, they're playing teams. Wow, how about that? What a coincidence, right?
Right. You're going to upset Alabama fans. Hey,
good
man,
job.
We got to run. Thank you so much, Mike Griffin. We enjoy you, as always. Check him out, Dog Nation. He'll be reporting on what Josh Brooks said, but you heard him. He'll be cautiously... he'll be very cautious about what he's going to say at the annual meetings. Thanks again, Mike.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too. And by the way, him talking about Texas, hate the player. Okay.
Well, I mean,
don't hate the game.
It's not, you know, to Mike's point, though, I was arguing some. I couldn't tell if this guy was an ACC fan or a Big Ten fan. I was just saying, look, we're not saying that, you know, head to head, yes, if the best of the Big Ten beats the best of the SEC, does that mean they're the best conference? No, there's still better competition weekly basis in the SEC because they're just better. But, you know, the thing is, and we didn't get a chance to discuss this with Mike, the other thing about going to the 9-game conference schedule, no reason to do it if the stupid playoff committee doesn't give you any juice for your strength of schedule.
It's useless.
Which they didn't do last year.
Yeah, I'm with them on the 8 games, and if you want to play somebody else, here's the other thing, and real quick, we got to keep the integrity of these rivalries. Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Clemson. Mike, you got to keep the integrity of these rivalries because that's what really makes college football. It's why the Pac-12 dismantled, and now you're trying to, you know, prove to me, hey, Washington and, you know, them playing Penn State is a big deal. Like, that has never been a big deal. All right, we're coming back. More college football to talk about. Braves game postponed tonight. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we will talk to our buddy Grant McCauley about what went down last night and also some guy talk straight ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.